Welcome to the Minimum Viable Podcast, a project of the Defense Entrepreneurs Forum. Our mission is to inspire, connect, and empower people in order to promote a culture of innovation in the U.S. national security community. You can learn more about DEF and get involved at DEF.org. That's DEF.org. We look forward to your ideas and are excited to connect you with other doers working on hard problems.
Welcome to another weekly wrap-up episode on this fine Wednesday, the 26th of August. We are your hosts, Mike Madrid and Mike Pakoda, two mics on a Wednesday, and we're here to deliver you a wrap-up of what's going on around DEF over the past week.
In this segment, we hope to cover everything that's happening in this large community. You know, we all exist in different social media platforms, across the internet, in different interfaces of all kinds, and primarily in our Slack channel. And so really what Mike and I are doing here is we're collecting all that information and spitting it right back at you in one easy digest form. So we know, hundreds of you are really wanting to dive in each week and tune in live. And it's just such a small window to do so that we also provide this out in Spotify. So hopefully everybody gets an opportunity to digest it at their whim. We keep it short. We keep it sweet. And hopefully this is beneficial to everybody. So Mike, why don't you kick us off with the members of the week?
That's right. So I prepare to run the gauntlet of pronunciation every Wednesday. But we want to extend a warm welcome to new members who have joined since our last episode. And that warm welcome goes to Pierre Grenier, Christy Segrillo, Duncan McAllister, Anna Mitchell, Patrick Dugan, Zachary Gore, Scott Henderson, Gordon Adams, Garrett Romola, Brian Sharp, John Cormash, Rachel Brooks, Sylvia Pera, Dar Shavit, Ryan Strong, David Bunn, Brian Muleman, Parviz Hamadanian, Brian Matthews, Ross Luo, and Jumana Mizla. And again, I'm sure I mispronounced one or more of those. So please forgive, but welcome to those if you're listening and you know any of them, maybe that inspires you to keep inviting more friends and to keep the community growing. As we also do every Wednesday, I want to spotlight a volunteer. And this week's shout out goes to Christian Kamen. Christian was born and raised in Cameroon, Africa. He immigrated to the United States with his mom and siblings when he was little. He grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, went to middle school and high school here, and graduated from Bowie State University in Maryland with a degree in psychology. Christian currently lives in Florida and is finishing his master's in data science at the University of West Florida. He's the founder of Techimax, a software agency in Pensacola, which collaborates and partners with a variety of organizations to provide positive impact on the world with the power of custom software solutions. He's a brand new father of 11-month-old twin boys, Theodore and Jean-Paul. Christian's also a military spouse and is gearing up to PCS back to DC in the next 2 weeks with his wife and two boys. At DEF, he volunteers on the operations team, specifically the website team, where he helps manage our website at DEF.org. So big thanks to Christian this week. We really appreciate all you do to support our organization. And as we also say on the show every week, we are recruiting for passionate volunteers. So if you're interested in stepping up, then head over to DEF.org/join and apply to be a volunteer. Over to you, Mike, for some news from around DEF this week.
Excellent. So right now we're going to start going over some of the information that I've compiled from our Slack channel. But as always, we want to make sure that everybody's included. So if you ever see anything that you want to be on for us to discuss and talk about, give Mike and I some feedback in the feedback channel. Out in the events channel, the Los Angeles Air Force Base is going to be hosting a Space Force Pitch Day this spring. So be on the lookout for that. This Monday was the launch of TI-AI, written by our fellow DEF member Mike Kanan. I think we'll go over that in greater detail in a little bit. There's also an Eventbrite on the future of space governance. Out in jobs, there are a bunch of positions available for DEF members. So head on over and you can see jobs for engineers, project managers, analysts, and faculty at the Defense Intelligence Agency this week. Out in opportunities or help, there's also a call for anyone with a PhD that would like to talk about CyberWorks for the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. SoftWorks also has a position available for the director position. Out in Joint Operations Command, they're going to be hosting an event on the Capabilities and Technologies Expo this December. Tuesday was also the release of the AFWERX SBIR cycle. Out in the Air Force, there was two major, major events that I really liked. One was AI won a victory over against a human fighter that was piloted by DARPA. I loved it. That's the stuff of movies, and it's happening. So there's plenty of articles out there. This one is real good. There's also a nice article where Air Force top leadership got to witness a flying car demo. So it wasn't a helicopter, it wasn't an airplane, it wasn't a car. It was something unique in between. Out in the Space Force channel, the New Yorker had a very interesting article talking about the vulnerabilities of GPS. I'm always fascinated that here in the United States we post things like this, but it was a good article nonetheless. And I absolutely love this, but there's a nice op-ed about William Shatner and his opinions on why the Space Force should use naval ranks. Always going to be a big fan, and hopefully that can also trickle down to the enlisted ranks so one day we have a Master Chief floating around up there. Right after this, we always host our General Happy Half Hour, so make sure you tune in. This is a great opportunity to talk to our guest speaker as well as Madrid and I. Lastly, I like to take a section here and talk about our channel of the week. As Mike and I started putting this together, I really found that there was so much that made up Def that I was unaware of in the last 5 years that I've been apart. And so each week I like to pick a channel that I don't know anything about and pass it along. And this week I want to talk about acquisitions. Pretty much, it's exactly what you think it is. There's a whole channel talking about how the DoD buys stuff. And this is real fascinating for all of us. The DoD works and behaves in such different ways, and some of us have interactions with it and sometimes not. But this is a great opportunity for people to ask questions and get answers inside of that acquisition community. And now off to you, Mike, to hit on the DEF events.
Thanks, Mike. There is always so much happening in Slack every week. So your role week in, week out of trying to cull through all of that and pull out things to share on the podcast is a daunting one. But anybody listening, if you want to have a conversation or something that was shared, included in this wrap up, just reach out to us and let us know. We're happy to do that. I'll speak to a couple of events recent and upcoming. Last week, we had our second ever webinar for the Cornerstones series on the topic of accounting strategies for emerging companies. Our guest was Michael Gawley, a partner at accounting firm Eisner Amper. And there was just a ton of really practical advice, which we should be post-producing and uploading to this very podcast so you can take a listen if you missed the event last week. And if you're not familiar with Cornerstones, it is a new project within DEF led by member and volunteer Jed Weiner. Cornerstones is a substantive training program with leading experts on key skill sets relevant for entrepreneurs, for emerging companies, for venture capital. Besides these monthly training events, Jed is planning some practice pitch nights and things like that. So stay tuned for more on this member-driven project, but really excited to see it take shape and start imparting value to those in our community who are in those demographics. Last night, we had a really special event, a virtual Q&A with author Mike Kanin, who you mentioned already on the show. It was hosted by Adam Beale of the Boston Agora, and it was in celebration of his new and much anticipated book, T-Minus AI. It was actually the very day the book launched, so it was really special to have him with the DEF community on book launch night. I wish he could have had a big party that he deserved, but in COVID times, we adapt as needed, and we just had a fantastic conversation over Zoom. We got to pick his brain about the book and all things AI in general.
Good. Mike, with that, I just wanted to give a shout out to him, and we all know 2020 is about virtual challenges. That's the new craze. So I actually have one for our other Mike, and that's that so many of us ingest books these days. I do via Audible all the time in all my commuting, and it would be something to hear the book read by the author. So maybe he could set up something for us, do something special for the DEF community, but I would love to really take T-Minus AI right from the horse's mouth.
He does a lot of things special for the DEF community, but he does, to your point, he does have a great speaking voice, so that would be pretty special. In upcoming events, tomorrow night, there's two going down, and that's Thursday, August 27th. The New York City Agora is getting together for another virtual happy hour, and they're hosting a guest speaker talk about the fall 2020 DoD funding opportunities for defense tech companies, so including the 20.3 SBIR cycle that you mentioned, Mike. I believe they only had a handful of spots available to keep it intimate, and they're filling up quickly. So just connect with Dan Downs or the New York City Agora if you're there and want to join up with that community tomorrow night. Also on Thursday evening, August 27th, the West Lafayette Agora will be hosting a speaker from Purdue University on the topic of coronavirus and vaccines. Very timely, of course. I'm looking forward to that Midwest momentum that they got going up there. With that, we can go ahead and transition to the second half of our show, which is where we interview a special guest, a different guest each week. And our guest today, we actually had him in the spotlight as a volunteer a few weeks ago. And we decided then we had to have him on the show to talk about, you know, his time with DEF and the newest initiative that he's been working on. So with that, I'd like to hand it over to Mike to interview our special guest, Jesse Levin.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mike. And thanks, Jesse. We're more than appreciative that you could show up and be here with us today.
Honor and a pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. So tell us about your history with DEF, starting with how did you hear about it? Maybe who brought you in? And what were the early days like?
I think it was when I was actually launching a rock climbing gym in Chicago. I think DEF was just getting started. I want to say it was like 2012, 13, maybe. I could be off, and it might have been one of the first annual conferences. And I don't know if it was Ben Taylor or someone had, I don't know how I found out about it, but I was basically looking to get veterans involved with this crazy project we're working on. And then this DEF thing popped up, and I was like, oh, this looks interesting. And I showed up and, you know, never really looked back. I kind of just got sucked in as many folks do, and have had the pleasure and kind of the honor of being involved for, you know, on and off for some time.
That's great. Yeah, it's interesting how many people get their start just organically. I know somebody brought me in. It's like that for almost everybody, which is real cool. It also shows maybe Madrid, we need to up our presence in social media and stuff like that. Let's get people outside of organically. But for now, organically works for us. So with that, what exactly did you like in the first days? What made this environment, this community special to you, and what's kept you involved all these years?
Sure. So I've kind of had a strange or less conventional past, and I've had the privilege of working with the national security community in various capacities, but I am a civilian. And so there's a kind of a rigid line I can never really cross, you know, which makes perfect sense. But DEF is, you know, in all of these years, just the most permeable, kind of accepting. Everyone is on an even playing field as long as you show up with, you know, positive intent. You know, it doesn't matter if you're NGO, academic, you know, active, guard, officer, enlisted, you know, you have a voice, and you know, you're just kind of one of the crew. And I have never found a community to date that has so successfully meshed so many, you know, totally typically disparate silos of folks, where everyone just respects each other. You know, DEF is almost kind of, once you're part of the community, you know, it's almost as if you're vetted, and there's this kind of really strict code of conduct that is unspoken, that really makes people feel more comfortable than I've experienced in other communities. And just the positive intent and all out support, it has just been, you know, I've gotten so much, you know, whenever I do any kind of disaster response or, you know, any kind of crazy project, my first reach back is into the DEF community. And without doubt, without fail, there's always, you know, someone, some crazy subject matter expert or some senior God knows what who steps in and is like, yeah, I got you, buddy. No worries. We'll figure this out. It's been remarkable.
Yeah. I mean, that collective is also what I admire about this group, that there's always somebody to help and everyone's always passionate about helping others. You know, along those lines, have you been participating with Agoras recently in the past? Which Agoras? And I mean, now last we talked to you, you said you were out in Connecticut. Do you guys have one out there?
You know, I think New York, I want to say, is the closest. I know there's some DEF folks. John Cassano, I know, is another DEF guy who's in Connecticut. There's always folks running around, but I've typically, you know, touched base with the New York group. I mean, you know, it's funny enough, my interactions have been less with the Gores and more, you know, about a year ago, I started barking at Jeremy McCoy. I was like, hey man, I really want to get more active. Can you, you know, come on, put me in coach. And they were, you know, he had this awesome idea for this community advisory project, which I had the pleasure of working with him and the leadership team on. So, you know, it's kind of one-off projects that I have the opportunity to get more involved with DEF. I had the pleasure of speaking, I guess, quote unquote, on behalf of DEF at William & Mary a few years ago for a national security conference. You know, so the opportunities have always been, you know, incredible, but I would say, you know, one more one-off.
What topics did you speak to at that event?
God, I was like, it was something like governance, national security, and humanitarian assistance and disaster response. You know, in our world is the HADR community. We have a unconventional approach, and we've done a lot of disaster response over the years. So I was kind of talking about the intersection of national security, kind of DOD, and disaster response.
Oh, very cool. So when you're not participating with DEF, what's your day job these days? What are you working on?
Failing towards success. So as I mentioned, we have been active in the disaster response space for, you know, well over a decade now. And also on the other side of the coin, we launched startups hand in hand with veterans. And those startups have been climbing gyms, outdoor survival training, bars, nightclubs, co-working spaces, you name it. But we have been experimenting with how do we socialize what we call readiness. You know, we are now launching, kind of taking the culmination of 10 years of experience in testing all these private sector ventures, and we're opening up what we're calling the Readiness Collective, which is the first emergency preparedness readiness training club and gear gallery in the country up here in Connecticut.
Oh, very cool. I mean, I think it probably speaks for itself, but can you talk to any overlap that you see with the Readiness Collective and DEF?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, what we found over the years, you know, in disasters, it's typically the hyper-local community that is most relevant and impactful, right, helping a community recover from a large-scale impact. And typically those folks are left out of the traditional humanitarian assistance and disaster response equation. And we've found it really, really helpful when you can facilitate interactions between all of the disparate parties, be it first responders, government, military, entrepreneurs. You know, it takes a collective to solve these challenges. And if we can do that proactively, you know, if we can create a space that somehow attracts the first response, the veteran, the local mom and pop business owners, the, you know, you name it, and we can bring them all together in a kind of fun, organic space, and we can offer the conversation and the skills to outfit folks and prepare them before something happens.
All right. So I think we may have lost Jesse. And
up back.
You're back. All right. All right. The show rolls on.
Sorry, guys.
You're fine.
Don't know where I lost you, but
as Mike pointed out, this is a wonderful opportunity to put towards Jer and see how he's progressed his editing skills. So we'll watch a nice big bleep go along that blank space.
See, redundancy, connectivity is important, you know, backup systems.
Absolutely. If only we had a Readiness Collective with backups ready to go in place. So, you know, along those lines, you were talking about having this arena, this avenue for people to collect. What are we talking about with the Readiness Collective? This is going to be a website? Are you seeing this as being a Slack channel? Like, what is this going to look like for people when they interact with the collective?
So we're huge on brick and mortar and tangible. If you think it's really important to bring people together, no. Post-COVID, we're kind of as counter-narrative as possible right now, in that we're taking 6,000 square feet of physical retail in a big box, you know, mall post-COVID, which are three things that sound like an absolute, you know, disaster. But, you know, we've found that the pendulum swings really abruptly in society, and that, you know, it's tech, virtual. And, you know, we're social beings, you know, we crave human interaction, and that's going to come back. And, you know, bringing people together, you know, sometimes it's just the only way to forge the kind of bonds and experiences that you need. So we're basically outfitting, you know, a really large space. We're turning it into a kind of an interesting social club environment. And we're trying not to recreate the wheel. Like, there's a lot of folks out there who are experts in communications, water purification, social movement theory, you know, networks like DEF. We're just kind of providing a clubhouse that is kind of more or less agnostic, where we're looking to find the best in class, whether it's on the academic side, practitioner side, you know, the technology side. And we're going to be offering training to the community in almost a salon style environment, where you can come in. It's very accessible. It's not militaristic. You know, we're taking the kind of out of the prepper, you know, fringe. So you're not going to see guys with, you know, tons of guns and 10,000 rounds of ammo buried in their backyard. And we're just recovering topics from medical, communications, situational awareness. You know, what are the mechanics of a large scale emergency? What happens in your community? How do the municipalities respond? How can you contribute? You know, how can you actively prepare yourself so you can be an asset? And the metric we're using is, we're really stressing this point of, if you're truly ready, then you're prepared to be of service to others. And if something happens and your first inclination is, how can I help? that's how you know you're really prepared, because you're so comfortable, you're so squared away that you're looking to contribute and help others. So we're trying to get people, organizations, municipalities, companies to that point. And then, you know, we see it time and time again with COVID and storms. Everyone's very reactionary. The same thing happens every single time. There's huge amounts of goodwill and innovation, but it's all reactionary, you know, and that's great. And that's needed. But we also at some point need to get ahead of it and start, you know, proactively readying and connecting folks, so there's more efficient flows of information and materials and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, that sounds fantastic. You I'm not going to say how long ago, but a long time ago, before I joined the Navy, I participated in like the local neighborhood watch groups. And that really sounds like just a one up level of what we did back then. And I congratulate, that's great to bring people in, provide training resources and the ability to network with others who might know more than they, and help people prepare for what can come. So overall, I mean, this sounds like a wonderful, wonderful initiative. So lastly, there's a couple fun questions towards the end. If we ever met at a drink and think, what exactly are you drinking these days?
Oof, well, I'm a total lightweight. It's a problem. But you know, I would say either a whiskey straight up, or a glass of Pinot Noir.
Ooh, good man. All right. If you could reach out and, you know, meet anybody that you've interacted with deaf over the years, have a handshake, have a lunch, who do you think that would be?
Oh my God. You know, I got to say, I'm so forever indebted to the organization, because I've just met so many incredible people. I mean, you know, Adam Hesch is a guy I can call like 2 a.m. with some crazy idea. And, you know, William Tresseter is another guy who's been involved with deaf, who I met at that first thing in Chicago, who's actually now been, you know, super gracious in mentoring me and providing help, you know, for our initiatives. You know, I that'd be tough. I mean, I think I'd sit down with Will Tresseter, BMNT Partners, and be like, hey man, you know, I'm so appreciative for just all the effort and kindness and generosity and support over the past year or so.
Great pick. And then, you know, lastly, one question, feel free to go in any kind of way you want with this, but with everything going on in our country, how has 2020 affected or impacted you so far?
You know, it's been a blessing, you know, for us, because, you know, bad things happen, right? They're going to continue to happen. And, we tend to focus on the positive, and there's huge opportunity in these massive shifts. And what it's done is it's really made people aware that maybe they should start to think a little bit differently. You know, the importance of knowing your neighbor, you know, the importance of networking, but in a different sense, you know, acquiring a set of skills, you know, being ready and all the things that means. And I'm not just saying, you know, buying MREs and, you know, an AR, it's a lot more to it than that. So I think it's really opened up room for the conversation at a really, you know, at scale, which is we've been waiting for a long time.
Well, good. As unfortunate as everything is for everybody in a lot of places, I'm glad that, you know, you can look at the positive and say that, hey, maybe what's happening now is really going to help prepare us better for what happens in the future. So that's really great to hear. And congratulations on that outlook. That's a real positive thing these days. Well, Jesse, thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate your time, your efforts, and thank you so much for what you're doing inside of that collective. That sounds like something that, you know, this country really needs. So thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys. And all I can say is anyone associated with deaf, you know, at all has a clubhouse and a space to work and hang out and a little bar whenever they're in Connecticut. So on the house.
Well, we all appreciate that offer. Thanks again. All right, Mike, you want to bring us home with a wrap up?
Sure do. Thanks, Jesse. Always good to see you, brother, and hear your thoughts, what you're working on, and some good wisdom imparted today, too. And thanks to everyone who tuned in. We are sure there are plenty more things happening all over the community than what we talked about today in this wrap up. So we hope that, you know, this show encourages you to get more involved and join the discussions that are happening all over. And as Mike said earlier, you know, we'll always take your feedback. This is, you know, an experiment, and we iterate on it based on your feedback. We've been your hosts, Mike Madrid and Mike Pakoda, 2 Mics on a Wednesday, and we'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We love ideas and feedback, so feel free to send your thoughts to hello@deaf.org. For more great content and to stay in the loop about community events and activities, follow us on social media and subscribe to our monthly newsletter. Everyone plays a part in building the innovative national security culture we want to see. To find where you fit, just go to deaf.org/join. That's def.org/join.